Chapter 32.
Desh returned to the Jedi light cruiser to inform the clones that they could bring in the transports. Kenobi, Voss, and Anakin looked around and then at one another.
I hardly know where to begin,
Anakin said. Kenobi stroked his beard.
It is rather intimidating. Fortunately, it's not our task to catalog or distribute the items. All we have to do is assist the clones in getting the supplies onto the transports.
If I may, Voss said, I'll leave you two in charge of that. I'd like to have a look around. I've got a hunch that there might be something more valuable here than food, a few blasters, and spare parts.
Something that Dooku might have stashed here for safekeeping?
Guessed Skywalker.
Got it in one.
And you're the one to recognize something like that when you see it, Kenobi said, nodding in approval. All I have to say to that request is good hunting.
I'll find the end of all of this and work my way back. I'll let you know how deep the cavern extends.
I think you just want to get out of doing the grunt work,
Anakin grumbled.
You're giving all the right answers today, Anakin,
Voss grinned. Kenobi watched for a moment as the other master paused, then shrugged and picked a direction, vanishing through one of the narrow spaces between the tightly packed crates and equipment.
What now?
Anakin asked.
We move crates.
I was afraid you'd say that.
They set to work. Voss checked in after a few moments, letting them know that he was already about 1,000 meters in with no end yet in sight. Desh returned, followed by the three transports. Clone Commander Cody, Kenobi's clone marshal commander, jumped out of the first one.
This will be much less exciting than a battle, I fear, Commander,
Kenobi told the clone leader.
That's as may be, sir, but I reckon that we can do with less excitement if it means more lives saved,
Cody said.
Come on, boys, let's get to it. How far back does this stretch anyway, sir?
Master Voss reports the distance at nearly 1,000 meters, so far.
Rex, the clone trooper captain who served under Skywalker, whistled.
We've got our work cut out for us, then.
We'll be able to help you with the heavier items,
Kenobi said. He gestured to a deck cannon, then closed his eyes and settled himself, feeling for the essence of the weapon in the Force. When he found it, he visualized it rising, light as a feather, as air, as nothing at all. He extended his arms in front of him and raised them, palms up. When he opened his eyes, the cannon hovered in midair. Smiling softly, Kenobi moved his right hand, maneuvering the cannon to settle in the transport hold.
Well, sir,
Cody said,
looks like we can knock off and let you Jedi handle this.
Not quite, Desh said. Many hands make light work.
But Jedi hands make work light,
another clone trooper, Jesse, said, eliciting a groaning laugh from some of the other clones, even as he set to work with Cody to begin moving crates into the transport. Kenobi's comlink chirped.
Voss, what's your status? Find any...
Kenobi!
Voss's voice was taut with tension.
Get them in on the transports and get them out of here! The rest of you too, right now!
What's going on? Kenobi was calm, alert.
Bombs!
Voss replied.
They rigged this whole place to blow!
Voss? Desh said. How many? Any chance we could disarm them?
Negative!
Voss said.
There are at least 6 of them, and they're all set to detonate in about 3 minutes! Go! Now!
How is that possible?
Anakin asked.
They didn't know we were coming.
The droids must have set them before they attacked,
Kenobi said.
They probably thought they'd deal with whatever was out there and then disarm them upon their return.
And if they didn't return,
Desh said grimly,
the items wouldn't fall into enemy hands.
We can worry about the hows and whys later,
Voss said.
But right now, you need to get the hell off this asteroid.
At a nod from Kenobi, Cody started shouting to his men. They hurried back and jumped into the transports. The first one to close its doors lifted off and flew back down the tunnel to open space and safety.
All right, 2 transports are on the way out, Kenobi said to Voss.
To Desh and Anakin, he said, "Get in your interceptors."
"But..."
Desh began.
"That is an order, Jedi Akar. You too, Anakin. Go."
The two cast a last worried look over their shoulders, then sprinted for their vessels. The final transport had lifted off and had disappeared down the tunnel toward open space.
"You too, Kenobi,"
came Voss's voice.
"I'll just stretch my legs till you get here."
"Damn it, Obi-Wan! You've only got about a minute!"
"Then you'd best hurry, hadn't you?"
"Obi-Wan!"
"Stop talking and focus on running."
Kenobi jumped into his interceptor, prepped it for immediate takeoff, and settled in to wait. The seconds ticked by. 50 seconds. 40. 35. The figure of Quinlan Voss hurtled over a pile of crates marked as ammunition. Relief surged through Kenobi. He touched the controls, and the ETA interceptor lifted off. Glancing back, he saw Voss's ship do the same.
22.
The Jedi took the curves of the tunnel at top speed. Kenobi reached out into the Force, sensing the walls and the path ahead, and leaning his body and his ship into them. He shot out of the tunnel with Voss barely a ship's length behind him. He did not slow, but kept going at top speed, putting as much distance between him and the asteroid before it. Kenobi squinted as a bright yellow-orange fireball rolled out of the tunnel, casting stark shadows through the cockpit viewport. When he could see clearly again, he realized that the asteroid was still intact, though obscured by black smoke billowing out from the entrance. While he was grateful that there had been no loss of life, the sight pained him nonetheless. All those supplies, food, weaponry, medical equipment, up quite literally in smoke. Well, perhaps not all.
"Jedi Akar," Kenobi said, "I'd like for you to keep a single transport here and supervise the loading of any salvageable debris. Since the explosion didn't crack the asteroid, it's possible that much of it is still contained in the cavern."
"Yes, Master Kenobi,"
Desh replied, though Obi-Wan detected a note of resignation in the Moran's voice.
"Let's hope there's something left of use."
"Indeed. Voss, Anakin, let's head back to Coruscant."
Ventress sat at a bar in Pantora, swirling her glass. She had known from the minute she walked in that coming back here, to the same bar where she and Voss had embarked on their partnership, had been a bad idea. She could kick herself now for yielding to the impulse. Somehow, she'd talked herself into thinking that seeing the place again would strip it of the power it had over her and become just another bar. The opposite had been the case. But now that she was here, Ventress figured she could at least try to drown her pain in the thick, bitter liquid and then sleep it off somewhere. She tossed back the shot and gestured to the bartender for a refill. Then she stiffened. Surely it was just the memory that was making her think that...
"Ventress?"
She pressed her lips tightly together.
"So now you're stalking me?"
Voss slid into the seat in front of her. He looked more subdued than she had ever seen him. It wasn't a good look on him.
"I came here for, I think, the same reason you did."
She laughed humorlessly.
"To try to erase me from your memory?"
"No." His voice was quiet, without the desperate pleading she'd heard from him before. He waited, as if expecting her to order him away again, but Ventress was too soul-weary of it all to fight with him. Voss signaled to the bartender.
"I'll have what she's having." "You won't like it,"
Ventress assured him. The bartender plunked a glass and a bottle in front of him. Voss poured a shot and downed it.
Immediately, he began to cough. "When you're right..."
He wheezed, tears coming out of his eyes.
"You're right."
His cough turned into a choking laugh. For an instant, Ventress caught a glimpse of the Voss she had grown to care for so deeply.
"I'm always right,"
she said. Why was she smiling into her glass?
Not always,
he said. Ventress froze, abruptly realizing that she was not sensing the dark side pouring off him anymore. Why?
I can't trust him, she thought. I can't trust this. No,
she said.
I was right about you, wasn't I?
She looked him dead in the eye, extending her feelings into the Force. There was still darkness in him, but it was different. It was human. What she would expect from anyone who had been tortured emotionally and physically. What she would expect from someone whose heart was breaking. Voss didn't answer at once. He frowned into the empty glass, turning it in his fingers. He didn't look at her when he answered.
Yes, you were.
She shoved the chair back and stood.
I'm done here.
Voss peered up at her.
Were.
And I suppose you're all better now?
No.
It was the truth. Ventress could tell. Voss continued.
When you came back for me, it was right after I'd held Tholm's lightsaber.
Right after you experienced me murdering him.
Ventress stated it bluntly.
He nodded. I was reeling. I'd been starved, beaten, deprived of sleep, injected with things that... Massage, you were my anchor. Thoughts of you, of us, kept me sane. But when I felt Tholm...
Voss couldn't bring himself to say the word.
After that, I thought that everything between us had been a lie. So yes, I let the dark side in. And that's what you saw in my eyes.
Voss again looked down into his glass. Slowly, Ventress resumed her seat and waited.
For a while, I admit it, I did help Dooku. But then I began to understand what it must have been like for you as his apprentice. The kind of lessons you were learning from him. He was trying to teach me those same lessons. But you decided you didn't want to be like him. And I wasn't angry at you anymore.
Just like that. You saw and felt me gut a man who had surrendered to me. The Jedi who was your beloved master. And then suddenly it's all right.
Voss shook his head.
No, not suddenly. But it did happen. It helped me shore up my resolve to not give in to the darkness anymore. I wanted what we had. What we were going to have. Together. We had a future.
Had being the operative word.
Her own anger and pain were returning.
We could still have it.
Ventress shook her head. She downed another shot of the bitter drink, letting it fuel her.
Impossible. Not after everything that's happened.
I forgave you for killing Tholm and for lying to me. And you will forgive me too. One day. Asajj Ventress.
He hesitated and took a breath.
That's what you do for the one you love.
He wasn't lying.
Ventress could feel it in the Force.
Quinlan Voss was truly in love with her. Joy and pain bombarded her simultaneously. For a moment, Ventress was so stunned, she couldn't respond.
Why had he said this now? When... love,
she said, having difficulty speaking the word.
Is not a part of your world anymore. You're back with the Jedi now. And they would never allow it.
Voss leaned forward. All the earnestness, the hope that had been absent just a few moments before returned in full force.
When you turned me away, I did go back to them, yes. I tried to be a Jedi again. I really did. But I don't belong there anymore.
Asajj, I belong with you.
Are you telling me that you're willing to leave the Order?
She had to hear it, explicitly to believe it. It had been one thing when they were alone together on Dathomir, to talk about leaving the Jedi. Voss's life with them had been so far away, and it would have been easy for the two of them to simply disappear. But he had been welcomed back with relief and, Ventress had to admit, affection. His gaze was locked with hers.
Yes, I am. There are a few more things I can do to help them destroy Dooku. I think I owe them that much. But once that's done, I'm yours. If you'll have me.
For answer, Ventress stretched out her hand. Voss took it in both of his, kissed it, and pressed it to his heart.